take that long again. Go Dawgs.
Yo, what is going on? It is the 100 Sanford Podcast. I'm your boy Lamar Lovelace, and I am here with George Foster. We are without Trigger Trey and Graham Coffey. They're out doing some other things, but what's up, Foss?
What's good, man? We still here, 100 Sanford. Two guys, two of the four, but hey, you got to make it do what it do, baby.
That's right, man. Just handling business, doing what we do. Just chilling right now, relaxing.
You know, life be happening.
Yeah, life happens. When life happens, you know what I mean? What do they say? You get lemons, make lemonade.
Yeah. It will come at you, man. The boys got to handle business. So, you know, hopefully we get Trey on here.
I think he's having some technical difficulties, too. But it's all good. It's all good. We're going to make things happen here on the 100 Sanford Podcast. We got a good show lined up today. Can't wait to talk about it. But, man, look, what you been doing this last week, man? I know. Did you come with snacks? I know I came with snacks, man, this time.
No, I ain't got no snacks this time. You know why? Because I messed around and started this challenge, you know, eating right, can't eat no snacks, you know what I mean?
No lettuce? Snacks.
So I'm going to have to battle. I'm gonna have to battle Graham in the snack department later on. You know what I mean? But I got him. Once this August is over, I'm gonna battle him with the snacks. You know what I mean?
Come on, man. You can at least have some popcorn, some veggie chips.
I eat some raw almonds.
That's all right. Okay.
That little works. Raw almonds, little grapes, you know what I mean?
That works.
Little cheddar cheese.
That's decent. It ain't too bad. Man, now you got me hungry. Because, I mean, I got grapes downstairs. I got some almonds downstairs. After this is set, I'm going to go get that stuff, man. But right now, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to eat this pecan roll. Because, like I was telling you, man, I had to go to dentist today. And I didn't eat nothing before going. I'm hungry. My mouth is now coming down from being numb. But I do got to give a shout out to my dentist, Lynn Nunnally. He's actually a UGA grad, and I actually found him because when we moved here to Virginia, I was like, man, I need a new dentist. And so I'm sitting there, man, I'm praying about it. I'm like, man, because, you know, you gotta pick the right dude, right? So I'm going through, and all of a sudden I see UGA, like big Georgia fan or something like that. I was like, oh, that might be my guy. So I go over there, peep him out. He's got UGA stuff all over his car, all over his office. And so I'm talking to everybody there at the front desk, and they're like, "Oh no, he went to Georgia. He's a Georgia grad." I said, "Oh, okay, I'm in the right spot. My man got season tickets. He follows the show. He follows us on Twitter, on Facebook, on everything now, man. So I got to give a shout out to him. He did a really good job, and I feel good right now. I think everything's coming down. All the numbness.
Got you right. You sound like everything doing good. You ain't got the drop jaw." You know what I mean? You do it all right. So evidently he gave you the good stuff, and it reacted properly.
Yeah, man. And I told him, I said, look, Doc, you got to shoot me up. I said, I'm one of those dudes, man, where, you know, the pain, any type of pain from like the dentist is like deadly for me. So he was like, shoot you up. And all of a sudden he said something about the gold stuff. You ever heard the gold stuff?
I don't know what that is.
Right? That's what I'm saying. He said it to his assistant. He said, give him the gold stuff. And I'm like, well, dang. I'm like, I don't know. So, I don't know. Maybe it's something. Right? I was like, maybe it's something with like Gramco or something like that. The gold stuff. Hey, before we go any further, the 100 Sanford Podcast is powered by the Roll Up Network and our sponsor, Gramco, the Delta 8 company based out of Florida, founded by college football junkies just like you and I. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Delta 8, but you need to be. Gramco is the absolute leader in this field. They got some phenomenal products that you just have to try, and I just had to tell you about. Wake and Bake Coffee. Gummies, vapes, and more. Simply the best on the market. Go over to thegramco.com right now and use the promo code SANFORD25 and you'll get 25% off your order. No medical card is needed. Shipping is quick and discreet. but you must be 21 or older to order. Try them today. That's thegramco.com, thegramco.com, using Sanford25 as the promo code. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. But hey, man, let's get excited, bro. Let's get excited because hey, this week. Man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Camp start, baby.
Camp start. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's real. It's real football time.
Real football.
Like real deal football. And no underwear Olympics. None of that stuff. This the real deal football. We see who ready for prime time.
Well, you know what? Let me ask you that real quick before we even get into something so deep. Because you've been through college, well, high school, college, pro, and we've already been seeing some pro stuff going on, right? I mean, everybody been following them dogs in the NFL and how they're just blowing out camps. I mean, George Pickens doing his thing. Heck, we're hearing everybody's balling. Sowers is balling out there to, I think, what? He's not with the Rams. He's with the Chargers.
Who? You said? Jamari?
Yeah. They said he's balling good out there. Yeah.
I haven't heard him. You know, I've tried to every time it crossed my mind to check out, see what the dog's doing. I read some good stuff about Cook.
Yeah, man.
He's doing good up there in Buffalo. You know, we had the starting quarterback talking about you. That's a good sign.
Yes, sir.
Because they starting quarterbacks, when you make that check like that, you have a lot of say so.
Yeah,
and so the people the higher ups listen to you. So he's talking about Cook pretty good. Of course, like we said, Pickens doing good.
Yeah, man.
Who else we got out there? I need to check in to see how Scene's doing.
Well, we're gonna be able to find out how Zeus is doing because Zeus played tomorrow night on Thursday. He played against
yes. And I was gonna go. I was gonna be there, but I decided to push my flight out to Friday.
Yeah,
and because I got to be a dad, man. Got to go to open house tomorrow. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
You got an Uber.
It would have been great. It would have been great to see that game up close. I forgot about Zeus was playing in it.
Yeah.
Former dog Tony Gilbert coaching on the Jacksonville sideline.
Yes, sir.
Would have been good to see, but going up to Canton on Friday, flying into Cleveland, then going over to Canton and do some of the festivities for Richard Seymour being inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. So it's gonna be great, you know, to see that happen. I've had a few teammates, Champ Bailey, Shannon Sharp, you know, one of my OGs, Terrell Davis, seeing those guys go into the Hall of Fame. But I didn't get a chance to go, always busy. I was working in football, so now I have a chance to go finally, and it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, man, that's a special moment. I mean, my brother's going into the high school Hall of Fame.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing, man. You know, he played college basketball, but it's the first time that they're opening up our high school Hall of Fame. So he actually got like 40 guests.
What city? And where is that?
It's in Pittsburgh. Yeah, Murraysville, PA. So Franklin Regional High School, shout out to the high school that I went to. But he's going to be one of four guys that go in. One's a baseball player. Tom Ricketts is a football player to play for the Steelers back in the day. So he's going in. My brother and somebody else. So anytime that, you know, somebody can get inducted and be able to share that moment with family and friends, because there's a lot of people to help you to get to where you're going to go, you know. So and that opportunity to really share that moment is nice.
You're recognized by the hometown. I had a chance to do that. It actually came out of the blue, man. I was inducted into the Macon Sports Hall of Fame, and really caught me off guard. So it was like really, really a humbling experience. And my family and stuff got to come by and see, and got to see it happen. A couple of my coaches from high school that meant a lot to me were able to come. So that was a good experience. So congrats to your brother, man.
Appreciate that.
I know he's excited about that.
Yeah, man. He listens to the show, and he's excited. I mean, that boy been calling everybody and anybody trying to get him there. So I'm definitely going to be there. I mean, we were there the entire way, you know, his high school career, you know, all the way to almost getting into the pros. but some injuries kept them back. But it's a special moment, special moment. But but we were talking about the pads going on. Now it's football season. The dogs start tomorrow. We're recording this on Wednesday night, but the dogs start on Thursday. And we were talking about it before. I wonder if the pads are going to be on. I wonder if this is going to happen. I wonder if that's going to happen. What's it like, in your opinion, for these guys to step on campus? They're getting ready. Now, they've been doing off-season workouts, but tomorrow is official. And as Kirby says, the boats are now burned. What's going on through these guys' minds?
Yeah, like Kirby said, the boats are burned now. Ain't no, you can't leave the island. You there now. You gotta fight. You gotta fight your way off. And I think those guys are not getting much sleep tonight. They're really. Some of them may be nervous. Some of the freshmen may be nervous. Yeah. Some of the OGs might be a little anxious. The first time the Dawgs are defending a championship in 42 years, man.
Yeah.
It's the first time. So but I love that comment by Kirby at Media Day. He say we will not be the hunter. that's the cold line, right? I've never heard that from a coach. Everyone, when it comes to that cliche of being the hunted after the championship, that's the one you hear. That's the one you hear the most. Kirby said we will not be the hunted this year. We basically the hunters again. You know what I mean? So I love coaches with confidence and that could back it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had a chance to play for and be around on the coaching side, Bruce Arians, for a little while. Mm. And he was a guy, he was very confident in his ability and his team's abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, we're going to line it up and we're going to ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I love that confidence. So I love it that, you know, Kirby has it, being that he's leading the team that I love. So like I said, you know, the coach is ready. The players are ready. Not getting much sleep tonight. They'll probably be up talking to, you know, their suite mates, roommates, you know what I mean, over a little, playing a little 2K basketball or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then they gotta get that rest and be ready, because they're probably gonna be inside. I wonder if they're gonna be inside or not.
You was outside.
There was no indoor. And to me, the worst practice of camp back then, it might sound weird, but the worst practice was the morning practice, because that morning dew on the grass,
mm-hmm.
and they used to have us rolling around on the grass and stuff. This is before dry fit and all that stuff. So your shorts and all that stuff weighing down on you. It's muggy. You can't breathe. Coach is screaming. You know, they're trying to make a point on the first day of practice.
Yeah.
And so, man, I can smell that grass now. So that's what those guys are thinking about.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Kirby's going to do just that. He's going to make it as miserable as possible the first day and say, look, if this is the hardest practice that we're going to have, fellas, how else are we going to get to the mountaintop again? Let's go. Let's get it going. Let's get it popping. And he's probably going to make it hell for him. I have no doubt in my mind. I don't even think they'll be indoors. As hot as it is, I think the first day he's going to put them outdoors. Like I said, the boats are burned. I think everybody's got a point to prove. I mean, one, like you said, we're not the hunted. We are the hunters, so we're going to make sure we're hunting. The other point is a lot of offense, a lot of new coaches, right? You got Searles, you got B-Mac, you got Fran, you got Bobo's back in the building. You got a lot of guys that are really chomping at the bits as well to really get their voices heard. I think they're going to be out there yelling, screaming, trying to get their points across. Like, okay, fellas, you know, off-season workouts are done. It's time to get to work. So
a lot of open positions too.
A lot of open positions, like you said. So I mean, I think that first day is going to be kind of like Hell Week. If anybody knows anything about Pledge and the Fraternity and Hell Weeks, I think it's going to kind of be like Hell Week that first day. But
here's the thing about it, though. The cool thing about the Georgia program now mm-hmm. is this is what year for Kirby? Six?
Seven. We're going on seven this year.
Seven. This is Kirby. This is year seven. It's gone fast. And but the thing about he's had a chance to graduate a whole class. He's had a chance to graduate a whole class and then some, and the standard is set.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So these seniors know what the standard is. The guys that have come in being recruited the last couple of years
mm-hmm.
and they've come to practices. Mm-hmm. Like they're not there's no surprise in what they're gonna be getting. You know, the standard is the standard. You know, they're gonna work hard. I think they understand that. Kirby's gonna scream.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand that. The demand is gonna be high for the guys that's on that field.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna work them, it's not gonna be anything new to him.
Yeah, and you're exactly right, because even he brought up Nolan, you know what I mean? Because you just said the guys that have already been there, guys like Nolan's been there, Stetson's been there. Both of those guys are leaders on their side of the ball. You got guys like Bill. You got guys like Chris Smith. Those guys have been through the trenches. You know what I mean? They've been through the ups and downs of the program, the development of the program. And like you just mentioned, the standard being the standard. The standard is work. That's all it's ever been since Kirby's gotten there, right? It's been recruiting and working and getting to the point where you are now the hunter all the time while also being hunted. I mean, heck, there's a lot of predators out there that are still getting hunted. So it is what it is, but they're going to continue to hunt until somebody bring them down. But one thing I wanted to bring up was, what position on this team do you think is going to have the biggest impact, or needs to have the biggest impact, for this team to be able to rebound, not rebound, I guess, go back and redo it again and take another championship lead? Which position group do you think?
Well, I was thinking about that, and that's a really tough question.
Because there's a lot of guys that we've lost, right?
Yeah. So I think all across the defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I hate to break the rules and add to your question because you asked for a position.
We'll take it anywhere we want to take it. Me and you take it wherever we want to take it.
I think those I think the secondary is going to have a lot to prove. Like it's going to be a lot of responsibility on those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In the secondary, and you're going to have a whole new set of linebackers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and those guys have been there, but right now the spotlight is going to be on them. You know, the light is on you, buddy. Like every move you make, the light is going to be on you.
Right.
So you got the linebackers in the secondary. I think, you know, the way D linemen rotate, you know, we got some experience there. Those guys have played. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Those linebackers, they those ones we had last year stayed on the field. You know what I mean?
Facts.
And so it's gonna be some new guys with a lot to prove this year, and that prove they can be trusted. You know what I mean? That's a big deal when you got a guy that like Kirby that demands that you do what you supposed to do your job every single play.
Right.
And so those guys are going to be dependent on, and like I said, the secondary. Offensively, I think we get to see Stetson Bennett from the jump. So I think we're going to see the total package from Stetson Bennett. You got the relationship he has with Monken now.
Mm-hmm.
They got some trust there. Monken knows his strengths and weaknesses. I think Stetson is going to be the one that basically carries us this year. Ooh. We're gonna go, you know, unless he gets hurt, I imagine he's gonna be the guy. And we're gonna go as far as he can take us. And he's already proven he can take us to a national championship. So to get it again, you know what I mean? You usually don't have, you know, we're missing a lot of guys, but you also usually don't get some of the pieces back that, you know, you usually get, you know.
Yeah.
If you got a national championship winning quarterback coming back to your team, it's always a positive.
Well, you know, everybody's been bringing up the defense, and everyone's saying that the defense may take a big step back. But one thing I did like what Kirby said was that every defense every year is different, and you just got to find what makes your defense successful and put them in the right positions to be successful. I'm paraphrasing for anybody that actually heard his press conference. But when you looked at last year's defense, they were stout across the board. I mean, defensive line, linebackers, secondary. I mean, everybody was stout. And I think when it comes to me, this is going to be the type of defense where, yes, everybody's got to do their job, but at the same time, there has to be one unit that steps up and actually leads everybody else. I think most people are believing it's going to be the linebackers. You got Nolan, you got Bill on the outside, you know, setting the edges. You got Pop in the middle. But I'm thinking that defensive line, and I'm only saying that because when you had Wyatt and you had Davis, those dudes, machines, those boys was balling last year, right? Yeah, we had a lot of rotation. We had a lot of guys coming in, and Carter was in there as well. But this is the first time we're really going to see Carter by himself as a lone star. I mean, everybody kind of knew who Davis was last year coming in. Carter had actually made a few jumps, and people kind of knew that he was going to be a phenom as a sophomore doing what he was going to do. And Wyatt, people looked at him as basically like the wily veteran, right? The senior guy that came in. But people didn't – he actually outplayed what most people thought that he was capable of doing, right? He played himself into a first-round pick. I'm interested to see the development of guys like Walthour, Lowe. You know what I mean? I'm looking at Ingram Dawkins. I'm looking at these guys, Stackhouse. Can these guys make the jump for Trey Scott to complete the rotation in so many words? Because you mentioned how they rotate so much, but will we see a drop-off? And I think if those guys up front are able to set the tone to allow guys like Nolan and Bill to get off for freshmen, and I'm going to ask you about that, for freshmen like Mikael Williams to come in and come off that edge and bring some heat, I think that it's going to help the rest of the defense. It's going to help those young guys and those linebacker spots. Like you said, those guys didn't play much last year, right? You got a secondary with Ringo. But, I mean, outside of Ringo and Chris Smith, now you got two other spots that are open at free safety in the other corner that didn't play too much last year. So I think you got to get that pressure up front. You got to be able to stop the run. You got to be able to get after the quarterback, and that's only going to help that defense be successful. So I'm interested to see what that defensive line is going to do. But when it comes to the offense, I like what you said, where you said, you know, this is the first time we're going to see Stetson from day one. It's his. And how this offense really develops his personality. I think we saw it develop his personality as the season went on last year, but many people would attribute that to being, okay, well, they had to do this because of Stetson. I don't think they had to do anything because of Stetson. I think they just developed the offense around Stetson, but what is it going to look like game one against Oregon to game 12 against Georgia Tech and to the SEC championship? Is it going to be completely his footprint, or is it going to be, again, Monken using all of his weapons? And maybe Monken pulls more rabbits out of the hat and starts developing the
Jimmy.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Like, shoot, what year is this for Monken with us?
No, like, it was three. Yeah, it's year three.
Like, come on, man. This, like, you just really getting settled into your roster, your role, like what's expected of you.
Right.
All of that. I feel like Monken and Bennett are going to make the jump for us. You know, just the familiarity and the comfortability of the quarterback OC relationship that they're going to have is just going to be, you know what I mean? It's, I expect them to go to even a higher level than last year.
Right, and you don't see it very often. I mean, and that's, to me, that's the most interesting thing, like what you said, because I was reminded today that Bill O'Brien's still at Alabama. So you put him with his quarterback an additional year. You put ours with our quarterback an additional, you know, with the offensive coordinator an additional year. It's going to be basically an arms race to see who gets there again and which team can develop and gel into what they should be. Because, I think it's just going to come down to Georgia and Alabama in the SEC championship game. And may the best team win. And hopefully our team, by that time, by week 12, week 13, whatever week it is, they're really rounding out into shape in terms of what they should be and could be with all this talent that they got on the field. But freshmen, I want to talk about the freshmen, because last year you had Brock Bowers come on, right? Nobody knew that Brock was going to be Brock. If anybody says that, they lying. They could say, okay, he's going to be a talented tight end, but you really thought it was going to be Darnell Washington's team in terms of his position to really take hold of. Any freshman that you see right now on that roster that can come in and make the impact, and Trey's getting on now, but is there any freshman that you see that can make the impact of what Brock Bowers made?
That's lofty expectation. That's a very lofty expectation. Brock Bowers was the best tight end in the country, even though they didn't, you know, they didn't give him the trophy that he deserved.
Right,
but he got some more accolades. He's definitely was the best tight end in the country. So for the next freshman to be the best at their position is highly unlikely. But at the same time, we got some talented guys. We get the cream of the crop to come to Georgia, and so you got guys like Gail Williams. Mm-hmm. He moves like a guy that's ready to play day one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He don't move like George Foster did when I first got to UGA. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. He looks the part, and being most of these guys that I'm gonna, these positions that and guys that I'm talking about that'll be impact guys are positions that I think typically fare pretty well early on because of the nature of the position. Mm-hmm. You know, defenders, you know, you can't quite do this so much with Kirby, because there's a standard. You're gonna do the right thing. You're gonna be your foot is gonna be where it's supposed to be, not 1 inch closer or one inch further away, or like everything is gonna be to the T. So yeah. But as far as instincts go, it's easier for a guy to step from a high school football field to a college football field and see ball, get ball. And if you got any type of smarts and understanding and you have the physical attributes to get it done, you can fare pretty well as a freshman, as a defender. So I think guys like Michael Williams, you got Marvin Jones, Jr.
Yeah.
You got Starks, some of the DBs. I think we're gonna lean on some younger DBs. If not, true freshmen. You know what I mean. So we're gonna lean on some of those guys. So I think out of that whole group on defense, you're probably talking about Mikhail probably being the standout in that group. You know what I mean? I think he's going to contribute pretty good if he can handle everything from the neck up. I don't know the kid. I don't know if he can. If he can't, I don't know what his makeup is. But I know that's going to be asked of the young guys, you know, if they're going to hit the field.
Yeah, he's an edge guy. So when you look at it, and what that defense demands of their edge guys. Trey, come on in, baby. We see you. What that defense demands of people on that edge. You know, when you start looking at Nolan, you start looking at Bill, you start looking at guys, their numbers aren't spectacular because of what that defense demands. I think Mikhail might be one of those guys that they bring in almost as a specialist to say, okay, see ball, get ball, right? You know, go after the quarterback. That's your job right now. And until you develop everything else that we need you to develop in terms of setting that edge against the run, you know, being able to play the run really well. I mean, that's something that Nolan's phenomenal at, both him and Bill. But I'm also like you when it comes to certain guys that may get time. Start looking at Everett. You know, I think Everett may be one of those guys that can step in day one, might be a day one starter against Oregon as the opposite corner from Ringo. You never know because these guys are so super talented. I love Starks, but I just believe that safety position, especially day one, game one, early on, is such a pivotal position for Kirby in that defense, him being a safety, him being a defensive back himself. He demands a lot of those guys, man, and their ability to be able to diagnose the game and be quarterbacks on the field. So for those guys, I think it's a little difficult.
Coming out the gate, the man Dirty Dan probably gonna be the guy, you know, down back there.
Oh, don't say that, man. You about to get everybody mad. Well, not a lot of. I'm a Dirty Dan fan, but you about to get a lot of people mad when they say Dirty Dan gonna be the guy.
Hey, Fred, like coming out the box, like who, like it just depends on like who's gonna be there. If we're talking about safeties, you know what I mean? You know, Smith is probably gonna be the other safety. And then, if you're not depending on, you know, Smith is probably, you know, might be Dan.
Did we get a medical report on Tyke yet? Was there a medical report on Tyke?
Probably gonna ease him in. I'd imagine they ease him in.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if we. I know we had heard some medical reports that came out today with certain guys like Tate Ratledge. I think he's been given the full go ahead now on the offensive side, but I didn't hear about Tyke. That was one of the things I forgot to follow up on because, I mean, he's a guy that, I mean, let's be frank, came to Georgia with a lot of high hopes as an All-American from West Virginia, so that's a big name there. Trey, what's your thoughts, man? Who's that? What'd you say, George?
No, I was saying before we move, we're not going to move on, per se. I know we got to see what Trey's going to say. Another position that I think translates very well from high school to college immediately is running back. So I can see Branson, you know, contributing a lot, you know, when he gets the chance. You know what I mean? Just to get some carries, whether it's to spell some guys he could play a significant role because he has the body for it, you know what I mean? And so you get him, like, it's kind of like Chubb, you know what I mean? The guys that come in, they come in built for that action.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he could be a guy that, you know, contributes some.
See, I was going to say him, but I mean, again, I didn't want to upset a bunch of fans, bunch of people listening, because for Branson to actually break that lineup, even get some carries, he's got to jump three different backs. He's got to get past McIntosh, Milton, Edwards, who's a fan favorite. Then you got Robinson. But my whole mantra is cream rises to the top, right? I mean, if you're the best cat that's out there to play, you should be playing. I mean, I think a lot of people even go back. I remember when DeAndre Swift was the third back, and a lot of people were actually saying he should be pushing, you know, Sony at that point, right? But it is what it is. He had to wait his time. But
there's a lot more to playing running back than running the ball.
Facts.
You know what I mean? That's usually what keeps the younger guys, you know, on the bench.
Facts.
And so we'll see.
Trey, what say you, man? We were talking about which freshman do you think could come in and make an immediate impact. I mean, nobody's going to be like Brock. I mean, that's a whole nother level of what he did last year. But what's your thoughts on who can come in and actually be something that the fans can really cheer for and the whole nation kind of stand up and look at?
Okay, for one of the guys I have as my sleeper that I've been talking about him for a while is, I say, Darius Harris, the DN that came, because I remember he was getting high praise. You got to look at it. At the edge position, you got to be a certain height and a certain kind of weight, and you got to have the arm span to play edge and set the edge. He's 6'6", well, close to 6'7", and I think he's already like 240. When you seen the picture of him when he posted on his recruiting visit, he posted a picture of him and Nolan Smith side by side. He was like, he made Nolan look small.
Yeah.
He's definitely one of my sleepers. I got him actually playing over Marvin Jones just because his measurables and where he's at weight-wise, because he's already ready for college, like to play college ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely one of my sleepers. And like y'all said, Mikael Williams, Mikael's ready. He's that guy. He's going to be that guy in the future. He's definitely ready.
Yeah, he's just one of those dudes, his body's ready. You know what I mean? 260. Yeah. He's already filled into his body. I mean, I don't think, besides trimming up, right? I mean, getting that baby fat, quote-unquote baby fat off you from high school in the college. I just think athletically, physically, mature-wise, I mean, and I think over the summer, that's all you heard was, you know, how far ahead he was than some of the other freshmen. I think mentally and being able to handle things at UGA. But that's a good one. I like what you said with Harris. I forgot all about Harris. So you, because me and you had talked about that off, you know, in other chats and whatnot, that Harris could have been that dude. But what game? Go ahead, man.
And I say another guy is Everett. Everett, definitely. Yeah. Everett, definitely.
Yes. Smooth guy.
And he loves it. And the best thing, he loves to hit. And we all know Kirby loves cornerbacks that can come in and tackle.
It's a must. Especially how
we see that with Tyson. Tyson wasn't ready to play, but Tyson was a good tackler in open field, and he got the – well, no, Tyson wasn't even supposed to start. It was supposed to be David Wilson that supposed to start, but he tore his ACL. Then Tyson started. But both of them were solid, good tacklers, and they started.
All right.
What'd you say, Lamar?
No. I mean, I think
it's going to be. I dang sure forgot about running backs. We all know Bryson Bryson.
I think Bryson's one of those dudes, though, that everybody really wants to see, too. You know, right?
You know how, how can I say this? You know how Derrick Henry came into high school? He was just big, already just ready to be running back one at Bama.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Bryson looks. Bryson is just, he looks like the typical running back one at college, already as a freshman. At 18, that's crazy.
And he's just strong. Like when you got that body and that type of strength, like it makes it easier. Like you are not regular. He's ready to tote the ball on the college level.
He's ready to handle the workload.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those. You don't think he's one of those guys right now, though? When you look at his body, and I don't want to speak this at all over the kid, but he's worked out so much. He's got his body so yoked up that you hope that when he gets to UGA and continues to work out that he doesn't lose some of that flexibility. Because I think that if there's anything that he needs to continue to work on at this point, it's just agility. It's keeping that body flexible.
I don't worry
about keeping that, getting speed, getting more speed with your body.
Yeah, I don't worry about that for the modern-day athletes. They work so much on every aspect of their body that, you know, and just those guys at UGA, behind the scenes that they work with these guys, and his body's going to be fine. A strong athlete is a good athlete. Like that, that's the main thing that's going to keep you on the field, keep you out of the training room, and keep you ball is strength. And he's a big, strong dude. I don't have any worries about that. You know what I mean? I think he's going to be fine. And if you talk about speed, I've always been a guy. My preference in running backs, as an evaluator, have been guys that if you can give me a consistent 4 yards, I love you. Like if you can break one, that's cool, you know, that's fine. But the majority of guys not gonna break a 60-yard run.
Facts.
You know, you got majority receivers that can break a 60-yard run, let alone a 230-pound running back. You know what I mean? Give me the guys that have burst through the hole and don't get brought down on first contact. Guys that break tackles, you know, guys that can get it done in between the tackles. Those are the guys I love. And from it seems like he's that type of guy, because that's what's going to win you games. You know what I mean? Like, there ain't that many breakaway runs from the running back position in football. It just don't happen like that.
I actually hope we get a chance to see a lot of these guys tote the rock. I know we had this show where we talked about which guy was going to go over 1,000, if a guy could go over 1,000. But it would be interesting to see him get a chance to come in there and play. Because again, I think he's got to go through 3 other backs to really get a chance to really show what he could do. But hey, it only takes a couple different carries, or it takes, you know, one situation for you to be the next man up. And I think that's why you practice and play the game. But I mean, you asked me about my guy again. I think it's just Mikael Williams. I think he's the guy, like I said, that if there's anybody that's going to come in and really get his shot to really shine early, it's going to be somebody that can, you know, see ball, get ball, see quarterback, hit quarterback. I like Everett at corner. I really do. I'm like Trey. I mean, he the boy tackles, he hits. And I think that what we saw on G-Day, he only got better. I mean, how long has Fran been on campus? I think, what, only 4
like
months?
4 months.
4 months. Yeah, I mean, they haven't even gotten into the point of where they're really starting to develop what they need to develop as a cornerback unit until they can get on the field, which starts tomorrow, and see what these guys can do with pads all the time. So I think it's going to be interesting to see his development. I'm excited for it, though. I'm excited for all these young guys. And again, you know, we just got depth everywhere. So, and with recruiting being so big, you just can't wait to see some of these guys, but you also got to wait patiently for some of these guys to get on the field and do what they can do. Another quick question. What game are you looking forward to this season? What's the major game? I put it on Twitter. I put it on Facebook. I put it on Instagram. I put it on everything that we got for the 100 Stanford podcast. And a lot of people came back. It was Oregon. It was Florida. You know, the mainstay ones. But which game are y'all looking forward to the most that you think is like, that's the game I got to see?
Listen, let me tell you something. I'm going to break the rules again and give you 2.
Give me 2. Give me 3.
I'm gonna give you 2 this time, just because normally you don't. Well, they do it lately. They've done it lately because it's kind of a trend for the top tier teams to kick off a season with a good game. So I'm always, especially if we're playing somebody notable, mm-hmm. I'm always looking forward to the first game, like almost. All every single year, I'm looking forward to that first game. You got Oregon coming to town. You got Dan Lanning. It's just, you know, that's a good game. You know what I mean? But outside of that, I'm always looking forward to getting a chance to smack Gators around. So, you know, put the cocktail party on there for me. You know what I mean? Getting the Gators up out the paint is always wonderful.
Me, I'm gonna go with Oregon. I mean, I feel bad, man. I'm so mad right now because I don't know if you know this, Foss, but Joe Moorhead, that used to be over at Oregon, the offensive coordinator. That's my man. Me and him went to school together. So I was like, I was gonna be on the sideline, get a chance to walk around, you know, act up with the players and everything else, even though I was going to be in my UGA stuff. So I was really looking forward to that game. But I'm like you. You got Lanning on the other side. You got him coming in with a lot of buzz. He knows, you know, the defense, right, to a certain extent. There's going to be some wrinkles thrown in there right now in this year. You know, Kirby and those boys are always going to have something. They're going to throw something different that Dan's not going to be able to lock in. But it's going to be an interesting game, and like you said, it's that first game, that first hype game, and it's not the same unit that we were used to from last year. It's going to be a little bit of a wrinkle, right? It's Stetson's team completely, new running backs in the backfield. You got the offensive line's going to be shifted a little bit and changed around a little bit, so it's going to be a different offense we may see. I think that's interesting to see. But at the same time, I'm looking forward to what Oregon's going to bring offensively. You got Bo Nix, a quarterback. He's played against Georgia before, being at Auburn. And it's going to be the first time that we really see the dogs on defense, the new defensive dogs on defense. And what are they going to bring? I think the anticipation is going to be high for this team as fans, looking forward to repeating and again, being the hunter versus the hunted. I'm like you. I look forward to Florida, but I'm not really that amped up about Florida. Just because Florida's down and we just kicking them in the dirt anyway and everybody's kicking them in the dirt, I'm not really looking forward to Florida so much because I don't know if they have anything to offer.
I want something. If Florida is down, I want them under the ground. I want to kick that man when he's down.
You know, it's like the one we had a quarterback a few years back because they done show did us like that. They let us have
it. Facts.
Mm-hmm. Like kick a man when he's down. Yeah, I want to kick them when they're down.
See, I kind of want Tennessee.
Yes, always want to whoop Tennessee. You know what I mean? And Tennessee is probably gonna be more competitive than Florida. But mm-hmm. It's just something about whooping up on Florida, man. It's something about it. Because I never beat them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's rough.
And, you know, and I've lost to them, you know, being the better team. And so that, you know, that hurt. So, you know what I mean? I'm looking forward. I always look forward to whooping up on Florida. And you get to talk trash. I still talk to some Florida guys. I get to talk trash to Silk, you know, over there at Roll Up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's always a good time to talk trash.
Well, see, they're going to be doing a tailgate. So that I was just looking at it because my dentist, you know, I was saying that he's a UGA guy. He was asking me if I was going to any of the games. I said, yeah, I'm going to try to get to a couple of the home games, obviously. Yeah,
I said, but
that Florida one, I think I might have to.
100 Sapper might need to pull up.
We might have to pull up. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But no, and I'm looking at Tennessee, too. You know, like you said, Florida's always that game you look forward to. I can understand that. But I think from a competition standpoint, it's Tennessee for me because I think that they're an upstart team. You know, they're starting to get some things, their footing underneath them a little bit, trying to get past Pruitt, that situation. Heupel's come in, he developed his offense, and you could see a little bit of it last year as they started to get a little bit of their footing. You know, Hooker at quarterback, you could see them starting to develop some things. And even that game at Tennessee wasn't so much of a blowout as what people thought. I mean, Tennessee came ready to ball until we actually then put our foot on the gas and really, you know, went to work on them and had to go to work. But I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to see what the transition of their offense and the progression of their offense is. And plus, I want some bragging rights with Swain, because Swain's over there and he's always talking nonsense. He was on the show last year talking nonsense about UGA. So I want Swain to kind of feel that Georgia thump again and again and again. As long as he's going to be on the air talking, you know, talking that nonsense. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Tennessee. What's your thoughts on them?
Who, me or Trey?
You, either Trey one on Tennessee.
Well, Trey, I think Trey was going to say Tennessee. I want to hear why.
Only reason I say Tennessee, because like you said, they is, let's just say they are going to be a little more competitive because they bring it back. They quarterback, and they bring a 1,000-yard receiver back. And, you know, they hit a little bit in the portal with their offense a little bit. I don't know too much of their defense like that. I don't know pretty much too much of their defense. Not too much. But I think the Tennessee game will be competitive because, you know, they are offensive-minded, and they like to run up-tempo. So, and we have a new defense, so to me, I think that tests our young defense and our secondary because they pass the ball. They do have receiver, quote unquote. They say they have speed receivers, so that give our DBs a taste, get them ready for the grind part of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing I thought about, too, was that, you know, they have that spread offense now with Heupel. They're going to stretch your defense. They're going to force you to to guard, you know, to man up with four guys all over the field. So it's going to be a test for our secondary. But again, it goes back to what I thought earlier. If that defensive line can get some pressure and those edge guys can get pressure, it ain't going to matter too much. But I am interested to see what they can do. But I did want to kind of go back to that Florida thing, because that was something that Kirby brought up, and I wanted to bring it up to y'all. You know, Kirby thinks it should be revisited. Now Kirby's the big dog, right? He's the guy sitting beside Nick Saban, probably that can make a lot of quote-unquote silent changes in the SEC or silent changes in games, and because he's a national championship coach. Do you think they should revisit the cocktail party in terms of it being in Jacksonville?
I think so.
Another thing
I've been noticing about this, I don't think a lot of people peeped it. Y'all notice Nick Saban been hitting the portal more and more every year for the past 4 years.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like, y'all notice he been hitting the portal more and more every year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at Kirby don't hit the portal like that. We got a Reek and stuff like that year with. But that's only, I say a Reek just had, well, just a won't, because, you know, not too many guys come around like him very often.
Right.
But, yeah, we lost Pickens at receiver, and we lost Burton to quote unquote Bama, but we still did not hit the portal for a receiver. We lost DK. We didn't hit the portal for a DB on certain people like Bama did. Bama hit the portal to get Ricks. But that only reason I'm saying that goes in quote what Kirby has been doing, building and recruiting well. He doesn't need to hit the portal like that.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, but that goes down to you being able to keep your depth and all that kind of thing. I mean, I think Foss mentioned that, like, episode one of season two when he was talking about how Georgia is now what, quote-unquote, Alabama was, which was you had your starters, you had your depth, and that's the thing that brought us to the same level, and I think it's now.
You even got role players now that know how to play their roles.
Yeah, exactly. But when it comes down to that cocktail party, what you think?
I think, here's the deal. I actually got to go to my first one, you know, outside of playing in it a few years ago, and it was a good time, man. I had not, over the years, I had not had a chance to actually go to one, and it's a good time. So from the fan perspective. I think it could go either way. I think a lot of the fans enjoy that little vacation to go down to Jacksonville and have a good time, party, tailgate, and do all that good stuff. But at the same time, it'd be nice to, you know, get them red lights going in that stadium in Sanford and play Florida at home. Like, that would be insane. Like, to play Florida at home, like, I know the last time it happened, it wasn't a great time. But ain't no more ball coach, and we the big dog now. Right. So I would definitely love to play them, to, you know, ride up to Athens, and I have to ride 4 or 5 hours to Jacksonville or catch a flight and go see the Dogs play the Gators up at Sanford. So I'm kind of, you probably could say I'm indifferent about it. You know what I mean? Either way, it's always going to be a good game, and you know what I mean? The fanfare is going to travel. You know what I mean? So, but I do understand what Kirby says about it being a good recruiting weekend. You can't beat that because, like, that's like you're gonna have all the best guys in the country there for the Florida game.
See,
you know what I mean? and not being able to do that at Jacksonville is a big drawback.
See, that's why I look at it like, and here's my philosophy. I know it's been brought up by other people before, but if you had home and away, and then the third year is a rotation year, which then takes you to Jacksonville, every kid will end up playing in all three spots. You'll get a chance to play at home. You'll get a chance to go down into Gainesville to play him down there, and then you'll play in Jacksonville. I mean, you get an opportunity from freshman year, whether you leave after your junior year, all the way to senior year, to play in all three. And I think Kirby, I mean, because you're only going to get a shot anyway, right, at two out of the 4 years to recruit at home. So you might as well at least get one opportunity to recruit at home. So I agree with Kirby. I mean, that and what you just mentioned, I mean, could you imagine playing Florida at night? Everything's red, under the lights. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I mean, hey, they might have to bring in a National Guard for the fan control.
You might get some commits that week.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you, it's crazy. And the same goes for Florida. Like, that was my first – that might have been my first – I don't know if it was my first. I can't remember had I been home. But I went to the game where – I went to Peyton's last game in Swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Manning. And that – to that moment, and still probably to this day outside of Arrowhead, the pros – that's the loudest place ever, and the Hot Nail Boot Game. Hot Nail Boot Game, that was like the earthquake of sound. But like that, the Swamp,
right?
The Swamp, when Peyton Manning came to town,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ! Like, my mom drove me down there, and it was just me and her, and we sitting next to each other in that stadium. We couldn't hear each other talk. I couldn't even hear what she was saying next to me. It was wild, and they beat Tennessee too, and so it was just crazy, and so that would be a good it'd be a good weekend for Florida too, so you know I understand why they want to revisit it. I just don't know if it will happen.
Yeah, and not only that, see, I look at it even so much it benefits the other schools too. Could you imagine? I mean, because Georgia and Florida are recruiting the same kids. I mean, for the most mm-hmm. part, right? We're recruiting Florida, state of Georgia, Mississippi, South Carolina, North Carolina, whatever it may be. So all those major kids are going to be at that game. It benefits you to be able to walk into somebody's house and those same kids on the opposite side that are, you know, wearing Florida stuff for the day or whatever it may be, and all of a sudden see the big bad Bulldogs come in and Kirby done called them and said, look, I know you're going to be at Florida this week, but watch us come in and do our thing. I mean, that's another recruiting pool for somebody. So I don't understand. I mean, I understand the nostalgia, and I, you know, hopefully we get down there this year to be able to party with Silk and those dudes. But I just think there's so much more to be had, especially now with the landscape of college football, the way it's changing with these super conferences and everything else. You better be able to recruit at your highest level, or else you're going to miss those opportunities. And teams like Alabama don't miss those. They don't play neutral fields. Right?
Right.
They're playing Auburn at home. They're playing, LSU at home. They're not playing no neutral field anywhere. So I think that's a missed opportunity for the Dogs. And I think I'm hoping they bring that back home and away.
And that's big for those Alabama schools. Like, they play the biggest rival in the state every year. In state. Every year. Their biggest rival. You know what I mean? It'd be different if Georgia Tech was in our conference and they was our biggest rival.
Right.
But you get that, you know, Alabama gets to play, you know, like, what is it? Iron Bowl?
Yeah.
You get to play the Iron Bowl every single year. And it's going to be in state every single year.
Yeah, and you see what happens because of it being home and away for both of those teams. Even when teams are down, they play up. Because they get a little hometown juice, you know. They get, I mean, Alabama last year almost lost it to Auburn, and as good as Alabama was, and Auburn was supposed to have been down, but you get those opportunities when you can play at home, and all of a sudden you reach up and you grab somebody by the throat and take them down. But I hope they revisit it, like I said. But then, you know, here's a follow up question to that, man, because you just brought up something. You said Georgia Tech. And with these super conferences now being developed, I mean, do you think Georgia Tech should still be on that schedule? Or should it be one of those things where, you know, now we look at it where, all right, maybe once every 4 years, you know, give the recruits an opportunity to again play against a hometown or home state school or a rivalry, so to speak. But Georgia Tech hasn't been that competitive.
I still think you should play them every year. Like, it is what it is. I'm not sure. We just have to see how is he Coach Collins? That's who's there now?
Yeah, Collins,
Just see how he does. It's going to take him a while to undo the wing T roster that Paul Johnson left him. You know what I mean? And so they'll probably get more competitive. They got to figure it out though soon. But it's always good to play Georgia Tech. I wish they were better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it'll be, you know, you have that type of what do you want to call it? That type of tension between the two games because I don't think that's there now, because I don't think nobody ever expects Georgia Tech to be any good, or nobody ever expects Georgia Tech to play Georgia competitively right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas back in you know, when I was there, and you know, they always played us tough. They beat us a couple times, and we whooped up on them pretty bad. Even back when, you know, back in the day when I was a kid, man, just watching Jefferson Pilot, you know, games and seeing those guys, you know, Steve Hull, and you know, even back with Marco Coleman, and you know, what's my man play for the Saints, Ken Swilling, you know what I mean. You know, those guys, Joe Hamilton, one of the best college football players to ever walk the earth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They used to be pretty good, man. So hopefully they can get back to that, you know, level. And so we can have some good, you know, in-state rivalry games.
Yeah, I think that's a different way to look at it. I have to admit, I'm a victim of the moment. So when you do look at your complete total domination, you look at it like, yeah, that's not even worth a game. But it really is a game. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's an in-state game. It's always been the big game in the state of Georgia. Like you mentioned, yeah, they've had their moments. They've had their times of being able to take down the Dogs. And I think right now it's just gotten out of control.
Had a natty more recently.
Yeah.
Georgia did.
Facts.
I don't think the fans understand that there's a trophy attached to it. You know, the Governor's Trophy. Like, mm-hmm. I can't remember if everyone got one. I know. I think the seniors got one. Like, so I have a Governor's. You know, I have a trophy from, you know, beating them, whipping them up pretty bad my senior year, and like, it's a cool game, and it's usually the last game of the season. You know what I mean? It's senior mm-hmm. night for, you know, whichever, you know whoever has the home game. It's usually senior night, and so it's a good way to cap off the season, no matter if they're competitive or not.
Yeah, that's a good thing, man. It definitely is a good thing. So I guess I gotta retract that. Keep them on there. I don't know if it should be the last game, the first game, middle of the season, but it's got to be one of those things where you know, it is part of the schedule. Another thing, I know we talked about before we actually got on the air, we were talking about recruiting, and just brought it up. And it amazed me right now, because usually we see that cookout and then all of a sudden we see a influx. We see a rapid rate of recruits committing to Georgia. But really we saw, you know, quite a few to Alabama. Alabama, I think they picked up 3 or 4 recruits this past weekend. Florida actually got on the board with a couple 4-star recruits. But we haven't really seen the trickle-down effect of the cookout. with this, you know, this official visit weekend. And I was waiting to hear that, but I'm interested. I'm interested to see why. I'm hoping that maybe we got some silence and maybe they're going to pop up. I mean, I'm not worried about recruiting at all, but it made me think this. Yeah. What did you guys do? Did Rick do anything in terms of when he brought you guys in terms of, you know, like parties and cookouts? I think Saban does the white water raft. I don't know what they do down in Alabama, but was anything special done when they brought you guys in on campus?
Nothing out of the normal. Like, I was recruited in a different era, Coach Donner recruited me.
Yeah, that's right.
And so everything is different now. You know what I mean? They can do things differently. They spend that money. You know what I mean? They get guys in there. They have a lot of fanfare. You know, trying on the jerseys and picks and all that stuff. We didn't really get that. You know, back in the day, you get to the school, you might go. They might take you to the locker room and they show you. You get to the locker room, they show you your jersey with your name on it and stuff like that. You might get to take a jersey, take a picture with it. Might get to put it on, might not. You have a nice dinner. You know, mm-hmm. then you go hang out with your host. You know, host might take you to the club, to the party or whatever, you know, house party, or, you know, you just kicking it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it might be a little bit different now. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm not familiar with what goes on as far as recruiting is now. That's how it was back when I was being recruited.
Well, I can only anticipate what it is like now, because when you hear all the recruits, and I talk to a lot of the family members of the recruits, and they always say it's a nice big family event. I mean, that's all you ever hear is it's a big, huge family event, and they make you feel like you're at home. And that's what wins the hearts, not of just the players, but also the families themselves. And Kirby, I got to say this, Kirby's ingenious with that. Because there's nothing more than when you go home and mom and dad is asking you, hey, how'd you feel? And you're like, oh, man, I like this and I like that. And then your mama sits up and she goes, boy, that Coach Searles is so nice. Mm-hmm. Right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, boy, man, they had some good food. They made me feel so comfortable, baby. And then all of a sudden, it weighs on a kid in terms of the thinking, like, man, you know, mama comfortable, daddy comfortable, boy, my little brother got a little shirt on, he feeling comfortable. All of a sudden it starts making you think like maybe that's the place for me. And but one thing I do like about it going even further with that is that it doesn't stop. It continues to be that atmosphere. And so I think the recruits can then go back and say to a senior or a junior, is it really like this? And they're like, yeah, fam, it's really like this. It don't change. And that's why I'm really surprised that we did not see the influx of recruits this past weekend.
One of the best things that UGA has going for them is, like, once you get a kid on that campus, mm-hmm. you make a big, it's going to be a like almost an automatic great impression.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a nice campus. It's, you know, a lot of people, you know what I mean? They have a, you know, nice bustling downtown area. So much, it looks so much different from when I was there, man. Mm-hmm. It's just, you have everything you need, but it also is somewhat small townish, you know what I mean? So it's, you know, and then you got the facilities, man, top tier. Like, they pouring money on top of money into those facilities.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I ain't never seen nothing like that. Like, the pros don't even hold a candle to it. You know what I mean? So it's something to see. Once you get a kid on these two, most of these top tier teams, you get them on campus, man. It's a wrap. But I feel, you know, I'm biased as far as Athens is concerned, because mm-hmm. I had an amazing time at Athens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then as far as recruiting concern, you know, I know they're throwing it all at me now. You know, the big facilities, the nice dinners, the, you know, it's just the atmosphere. Like, it's a production now. You know, they have recruiting departments, and, you know, it's not just one person. Like, they got whole departments that put together these things and make the production. You know what I mean? I'm sure that goes into a lot of these kids' decisions.
Yeah, man.
And then you win. And then put that along with winning. Like, hey, a good recipe.
Yeah, it's completely different now. It'd be interesting. I like to be on campus when one of those things happen, part of the production team, so to speak, just to see what goes on. Because like you said, it's so different now. I remember we were talking about my brother when we first started, when he was being recruited by Ohio State. And I went with him on his official visit. And this is like years ago. But, you know, you walk in, like you said, you got the jersey up and you walk in into the arena. And even though he played basketball, but it was like one of those things where starting at guard. And it was like Blue Chips, you know what I mean? It was like the movie Blue Chips. Mm-hmm. They took us one place, took him another place, and you know, the family one place. But it's completely different than what it is now, where, like you said, you got entire departments. You got whole units running, and Kirby's running them like like offense, special teams, you know, and everybody's all hands on deck for recruiting.
And, like, you got access to the numbers of what they spend on recruiting now. Yeah. I didn't, like, they spending, you know, seven figures on recruiting.
Yeah.
Like it's a big deal now, because, you know, if you know football, you know, the team with the best players probably going to come down to the end as being a contender for the national championship. And so with national championship wins or even appearances comes a lot of money.
Yeah,
it's big checks. It's big checks tied to that game. So to spend it on the front end, they're throwing out, you know, all the stops. You know what I mean? Seven figure, you know, budgets as far as, you know, recruiting is concerned. You know what I mean? That's a lot.
Facts. Big facts. Big facts on that. Well, man, we were supposed to have a special guest who was going to pop in, one of the top recruits that Kirby has been recruiting, a commit, but I think he is locked up in practice, so he cannot come on. But at the very same time, I think we'll still get him next week, along with some updates on what's happening this past, or I guess it's going to be the upcoming week with practice. I can't wait to talk about it. I can't wait to talk about the pads hitting. I want to hear all the Stetson slander. I want to hear who's going to be starting at running back and all. You know, I want to hear Dog Nation go nuts on all the chat boards and everything else, because it's about to get on and popping. But we also got some people that we'd like to bring on from the Roll Up Network. I talked to our boys over there, the Varsity podcast, where they do a lot of the recruiting. They break down information, because I want to hear what other people say too. I don't want to just hear about what we got to say about our squad, but those guys like Silk, Larry on, the rest of those boys down there at the Roll Up Network, I want to hear what they got to say about the Dogs and how they feel about how we're taking over the nation. I don't know what you want, but whatever you want as well, yeah. Trey want, Graham want, let's bring people on. Let's talk about this team. Let's talk about this university. You got anything else you want to get into tonight?
Nothing else, man. Like I said, looking forward to this weekend, the Hall of Fame festivities. It'll be my first time actually played in the game, the Hall of Fame game. I think I was I forgot what year it was. I don't know if I was a rookie or not. I played in the Hall of Fame game, and it was cool. But I didn't get to, you know, go to the ceremony and all that stuff. It'd be cool to go back up to Canton. I want to actually walk around and see. I believe they gave us a chance to go in there, but I can't remember a whole bunch about it. And I'm sure there's been a lot. There have been a ton more busts put in there, guys that I know that I met and stuff. So I'm looking forward to this weekend, and we'll talk. I'll give you guys the skinny on everything that happened. this weekend or next week.
Let's see. Besides Seymour, we got Bocelli going in, Sam Mills, Leroy Butler, Cliff Branch, and Art McNally. So, but of course, the guy, the main guy, Richard Seymour, our dog, is going in. So that's going to be an exciting time. And I got to admit, but I mean, before we get off here, Seymour was my dog until he got to the NFL, because I don't mess with no Patriots for real. So we're going to have to throw hands whenever. Whenever we see each other, because I don't mess with the Patriots, but I will be cheering for him this weekend, and but I can't wait. But hey man, let's get up out of here. I know you gotta continue to Uber. You gotta continue to Uber, yep. Eat your lettuce.
Yep, I am the human Uber. I've been at it today, Jack.
You just gotta get paid for it, man.
They need to pay me, don't they?
Yeah, especially because you tweeted today about the getting the beauty supplies too. I couldn't deal with that.
Yeah, man. Oh man, I'm in there buying hair and all kind of stuff for braids and stuff like that. They need to pay me.
They got you doing hair.
I'm doing cheer practice. I'm doing volleyball practice. I'm doing it all.
You know, the hair. So you do the hair.
I don't do the hair no more. Back in the day when they was little, yeah. I did some hair. But right now, I have to pay somebody a pretty penny to do it. So
That's what's up. All right, Foss, let's get up out of here, man. Let's let these people do what they do. But glad to see you again, brother, and I look forward to seeing you next week when we get on again.
No doubt. 100 Sanford.
See y'all, 100 Sanford. Go Dawgs.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dawgs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.